today on Real Radio.
Then why, if parchment was so precious, why is he rehashing even the vision again in Scripture? Why is he redoing it again? Why do we have a repeat so close together? Because of the magnitude of what is meant here, that the Gentiles could be not only saved, but be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church, continues a series called The Book of Acts. Now, the Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and also through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. In the message called The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles from Acts chapter 10, verses 23 through 48, we learn that God is not divided on who he saves. So whether we come to God as a Jew or a Gentile means nothing to him. It's all those who come to him who are poor in spirit or have a broken heart that God will not turn away from, but will receive them unto himself through Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, we'll see the birth and the ministry of the Gentile believers. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the Gentiles who are saved can also be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the assurance that they too are going to heaven. The Holy Spirit is a gift with no distinctions. The Gentiles are included in all of God's promises. And now continuing in his lesson called The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church, here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts 11 now brings to full view what had been alluded to in the Old Testament for so long. Verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them?" But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. And when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered and said to me from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done to me three times, and all were drawn up into heaven. And at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And then the Spirit told me, 'Go to them, doubting nothing.' Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Listen, he will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift that he gave to us when we first believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." And so in verses 1 to 4, we see Peter's arraignment. He's going to get busted. He's just coming down from this great event. But you know what? Have you ever been to a retreat and come down the mountain? Isn't that funny how that happens? You're blessed up on the hill, you come down and the house is blown up or burned down. Or if you're coming from a men's retreat or a woman's retreat, you get home and your spouse is like, "Don't you know what's been going on for all weekend?" And it's like, major quench. Man, Peter's riding high. He just saw the Holy Spirit poured out on Gentiles. He's freaking out. He's coming back. But check this out. Look at verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea, specifically Jerusalem, heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. How did they hear that? Well, Jack, you know, they use their fax machine. Not so. How'd they hear it? There's something faster than a fax machine. It's called gossip. There's something more efficient than email. It's called gossip. For crying out loud, it happens all the time. Peter's coming down. He's probably preparing the message. I can't wait to tell these guys. I can't wait to tell them what happened. Oh, Peter, come over here. We want to talk to you. Oh, yeah, well, I want to talk to you too. We heard, now listen to this. Look in your scripture. It says in verse 2, when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who of the circumcision contended with him. That word in the Greek means they drew lines of distinction. Saying in verse 3, you went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. Isn't that funny? They have nothing to say about, you went to uncircumcised men and you preached the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. You went to uncircumcised men and you evangelized them. Nothing wrong with that. You went to uncircumcised men. Nothing wrong with it. Until they heard that Peter had hung out in fellowship and ate with them. Remember last time, last week, they ate together. What a funny deal. These are born again Jews filled with the Holy Spirit, Christians. But the transition hadn't equated in their mind yet. Peter, you ate with Gentiles. And they're furious over that. Absolutely upset. Isn't this sad how dangerous, and listen, it's prevalent in your mind and my mind as well, sad to say, how our smallness can affect God's immensity. God is so awesome. He's so encompassing. But you and I say, well, wait a minute. You went to that church? How could you go to that church? Hey, back off. Jesus died for them too. But you see, the Jewish mind hadn't thought of that. The Jewish believer couldn't conceive the Gentile near them. But in verse 2, as I mentioned, this word contend, it is the exact same word that is found in Acts 10:20. And that word we saw back then was doubting nothing. Remember the Lord said, Peter, go doubting nothing. It means don't draw any lines of distinction, Peter. That's exactly what these men are doing. They are drawing lines of distinction. And they're very, very upset with what's happening here. And so it says in verse 4, but Peter explained it to them. I have this circle in my Bible because he is actually realizing now, I am appearing before court. And in my arraignment, I better have all my things lined up because they're going to be here accusing me. And I'm blessed by Peter's forethought here. Look what he says in verse 4. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. Watch what happens. Verse 5. We see Exhibit A entering the courtroom. And that is the witness of the vision that we'll see in verses 5 to 11. This is his exhibit. Lays it on the table. Okay, you guys. Here's a story. I know this is really freaking you out, and it would have freaked me out too. God had to show me something, and here it is, verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying. You had to circle praying because the men listening to him were impressed by that. And in a trance. You had to circle trance because that word is used in the Old Testament of the Old Testament prophets that received communication from God. Peter is really getting to be quite a slick dude right here. Hey, guys, listen, from the beginning, let's take it from the top. I was, number one, praying. So don't get on my case. Number two, I saw a trance. I was in a trance, just like the prophets of old. Number three, I saw a vision. And they're going, what could go wrong with this? Sounds very kosher. No problem. And I saw an object, verse 5, descending like a great sheet let down from heaven. Heaven! Oh, yes! He's scoring major points in court here before this Jewish council. Hey, Peter, I knew. They're probably leaning over. I knew he was okay. You guys just jumped to conclusions. It's okay. He's going to be fine. So he's really setting them up. Verse 6, when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. You see, men, how kosher I am? I'm just like you. And it's wonderful that God used the big Jewish kahuna, Peter, to be the one to receive this message from God. It wasn't Philip. It wasn't somebody else. It was Peter, the big guy. So he comes in. He goes, now listen, I'm so kosher, I'll tell you how kosher I am. I was praying. And they all went, ooh, yeah. Right on. Was it a trance? Yeah. Whoa, hey, preacher, brother. I saw a vision. Amen. It came out of heaven. Yeah. Well, what'd you see? This incredible sail coming down out of the sky had a bunch of unclean animals running around in it. Now you can see their brow is beginning to kind of crinkle a little bit. What kind of... Peter! What's going on here? And I heard this. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Look at verse 9. But the voice answered me again from heaven. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Verse 10. Now this was done how many times? How many times? Three times. Why three times? Because it's a Jewish audience. Three times. You see how neat God is? And Peter's picking up on this. You could hear him right now. He goes, this was done to me three times. He probably went like this. Or whatever the three sign is in Hebrew, you know. Three times. This was done three times. Why three times? Because the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 19:15 that at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Peter knew that. God knew that. Revealing it to the Jews in the mouth of two or three. He sees this vision three times. No problem. Look at the next verse, 11. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. How many men? Three men. You got three times the vision. You've got three men standing there as witnesses. God is making a statement to these guys. And the beautiful thing is, he's trying to bring the point across to them that he now knows himself is that God saves Gentiles. And aren't you glad about that? I mean, we just went through Thanksgiving. And I don't know what table you were gathered around, but the table that we were at, often the prayers we went around, we had a little, my mother-in-law had a little basket, and we had these fall leaves in at your table. It's kind of fun. And at each of your place settings, had your name tag there, and like I was going to lose my place. I mean, any plate in front of me with food must be my spot, you know? But my name tag's there with this beautiful fall leaf. And as the little basket came around, you would take the leaf and you would pronounce to the people what you're thankful for and then put the leaf in the basket. And then she puts it in the family archives when it's all done, kind of a thing. And it's a lot of fun. But how often, as we went around that table, I thank you for saving me, Jesus, for salvation. Aren't you glad you can say that? Do you realize who we are? We're the same people Jesus hung around with. Tax collectors. Any of you have worked for the IRS or any of those guys? Don't raise your hand. It could be a riot. Any of you prostitutes? Jesus hung around prostitutes. Businessmen? College grads? Judas had his degree. Jesus hung around us all. It's the people who were too, hey, I don't need you, Jesus, that he didn't associate with. They wouldn't let him near him. But I just praise the Lord that God still calls nothing common or unclean. And how is he able to do that? But by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for that. And he has given us life. And we rejoice in that. Three times three men. Very, very significant to the Jewish audience that he is involved with. Look at verses 12 to 16. We see Exhibit B. Exhibit B is the witness of the Holy Spirit himself. The witness of the Spirit. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. That is, you could hear Peter almost turn the knife a little bit. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them, not drawing lines of separation. By the way, you just did. Not doubting nothing, says the Scripture. These six brethren, listen to this. These six brethren accompanied me, and we went and entered the man's house. So Peter plus six is how many people? Seven people. Interestingly enough, check this out. Did some little research on this. This is kind of fun. In Egyptian law, seven witnesses resulted in a no contest in court. Whatever the case was, it was settled by the testimony of seven witnesses in Egyptian court. Peter plus the six guys. Check this out. In Roman law, which is the law that governed the area at this time, seven witnesses were required to establish a statement as being a fact or a document that had seven seals stamped on it or taped to it, bonafide its authenticity. That's why in the book of Revelation you see the seven sealed scroll. It is a bonafide document of God's judgment. In Roman law, seven seals on a statement or on a written document meant that it was authoritative. Peter's got six guys plus himself. God has covered every base. Not only that, I know this study might sound redundant for you. And do you realize something? As I was preparing this, I thought, this is kind of like we've gone through this, Lord, the last couple weeks. You want to know what? It's exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted to happen. Parchment came in lengths of maximum 35 feet. It's interestingly enough that according to historians, the book of Acts occupied 35 feet of parchment when Luke got done with it. Then why, if parchment was so precious, why is he rehashing even the vision again in Scripture? Why is he redoing it again? Why do we have a repeat so close together? Because of the magnitude of what is meant here. That the Gentiles could be not only saved, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's making a statement. The Holy Spirit, you know from 1 Timothy, is the author of Scripture. Very powerful what's going on here. Verse 13, and he told us how we had seen an angel. Verse 12, then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house. Again, this is a strong point for the Jewish audience that's standing before him. Angels. They believed would be God's special agents. They were in the Old Testament. They were looking for them still in the New. Who said, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Remember last week we told you that Cornelius was not yet saved? Here's the proof text right here, verse 14. They believed in God, but they were not born again. They believed in God, but they were not born again. He had no assurance of salvation. This word saved is the Greek word sozo, and it means to be safe or preserved or to be delivered from judgment. And prior to this, Cornelius had no assurance of that. You want to jot this down in your Bible. You can have assurance of that. We've been telling you that over these last couple of weeks. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Are you saved this morning? Listen to this. 1 John 5:13, you know this well. For these things have I written unto you, who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And then 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, that is this tent, our body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Assurance that if you died today, you have, isn't it neat to realize, a body that you're going to get in heaven? And in my cartoon mind, I see this rack and there's this suit hanging there, empty, waiting for me to fill it up. A suit made for heaven. I'm beginning to doubt if my body is even made for earth anymore. But we've got a body, the assurance. And that's good news. It says in verse 15, I want you to hang on to your seats, and I want to spend really the rest of the study time that we've got left, not much, but on this important fact. Listen to verse 15. "And as I began to speak," Peter says, "the Holy Spirit fell upon," circle that in your Bible, "fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." In verse 15, you can draw an arrow all the way to verse 45 of chapter 10, because he is the gift. That is the gift. Listen carefully, you guys. I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to say something that might freak you out. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised in John chapter 14, the coming upon experience of the Holy Spirit was a gift.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church." Thanks for listening. And like Peter, we can be eternally grateful that the God of the Jews is also the Savior of every nation. The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we move forward in the Book of Acts, we've learned that the apostles of the first New Testament church faced a lot of resistance from the religious leaders of that time. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, they witnessed with boldness as the Holy Spirit told them what to say. And today, well, it's no different. We're still called to be witnesses for Christ. So if you need help in sharing your faith, or you've accepted Christ for the first time, let us point you in the right direction. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We've also got a tab there. It's called Know God. It gives you special presentations of the gospel to help you share it with others, or maybe to reaffirm your own decision for Christ. And Pastor Jack also offers weekly devotions. These devotions are offered once a week to inspire you and deepen your relationship with God. You can also access any of this information that I just mentioned at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get ready for part 9 of Happening Now with Pastor Jack Hibbs and his special guest, Amir Safati. Now you can join them in person or through Facebook Live on September 19th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. During the live broadcast, Pastor Jack and Amir will examine God's prophetic word from the Bible in light of current world events. And in these unstable times, it's vital that you have a well-grounded understanding of God's word. There will also be a Q&A time, and you don't have to have a Facebook account to join in on the live broadcast. And if you've missed any of the previous Happening Now sessions, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Happening Now tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, it's all at your fingertips when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.